Blog Talk Radio.
Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and it's good to be here. I thank you for tuning in. I am the spokesman for the King of Glory, and my question to you is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And so this is what the gospel is all about, that Christ Jesus came into the world. St. Paul was giving his testimony to his son Timothy in the gospel, and he said that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So he said all the things that he was before, but he did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And then also they tried to corner him, the Pharisees, and said that he was eating with wine bibblers and sinners. And he said, they that are whole need not a physician. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So we thank God that we're here. We would like to welcome each and every one of you to Truth Ministry, all of our Blog Talk friends, all of our LinkedIn connections, all of our Facebook friends, and all of our Blog Talk friends also. We just thank God that you are here on this day. And so we thank God that we are here. We want you to know, as we know, that there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So it's good to be here. So as the psalmist says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So we just thank God that we have the blessed opportunity, especially to be able to use technology and this vehicle called Blog Talk Radio to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I am the, like I said, the spokesman for the King of Glory with Truth Ministry, and I am your Godhead man, which Godhead means that there's only one God who is the head of all things. And so many don't understand what that term means. And so I just want to bring to your attention the scriptures in the Bible that have the term the Godhead in them. And so there is no Trinity, and that is one of the dirtiest lies ever ascended up out of the pit of hell. There is no such thing as the Trinity.
But Apostle Paul had ran into a group of people, and he looked at their devotions, and he said, "As I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription: To the unknown God, where whom you therefore you ignorantly worship, him I declare I unto you, God that made the world." Now, notice what I just said: God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. So see, some people are so caught up, they were so caught up in the magnificence of the building, which, and so Jesus, that's why Jesus made the statement in St. John, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. They said, you know, this building took 46 years to build, but he spake of the temple of his body. So he goes on here. Neither is worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything. See, and he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and bounds of their habitation. So he goes on here that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him. For in him we though he be not far from any of us, in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being, and also of your own poets have said, we are also of his offspring. So they are talking about God. So he said, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that, here it is, the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by the art of man's device, and that the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So he's not just talking, he's talking about, when he say men, he's talking about the human family. And so that's the first place where you will find the term the Godhead. And so we go ahead, and then the second place where you'll find the term Godhead is in the book of Romans. When he wrote to the Romans, he had heard of their faith, and he wanted to come and impart unto them some spiritual gifts. So he went on to let them know, I'm ready to preach to you that are at Rome, you know, much as lieth in me. Then he went on, that's where you hear the quote, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Then he goes on here, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that when that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And he goes on here, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. So professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, into birds and the four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So we know what that's talking about. But so then the other place, three places where it's found in the Bible, is in the book of Colossians. And so that is where we'll go to, and then we'll move on to get ready for our lesson. So he goes on here, St. Paul is writing to the church at Colossae. So he, in the second chapter of the Colossian, the book we call Colossians, is to the church of Colossae. So the second chapter, the 8th verse, so he says, he's letting them know, see, this is like a sister book to the book of Ephesians. He talks about the position, one of his prison epistles, the position of the believer. This church at Colossae, this book
is a sister book to the book of Ephesians, wrote to the church at Ephesus, actually another one of the prison epistles. But he goes on here, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him who? In him, in Christ. So ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him by baptism, in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. So we know that he made that body. He got in that body. That's why the Bible says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses, and he has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So that's in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. So beginning at verse 17, when he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So tonight we want to talk about rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. So the book of Philippians is the book of rejoicing. He wrote to the church at Philippi. So you gotta, and especially everybody's going through something. So that's the scripture. You know, he says he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So many as God with worketh in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And in another passage he says, he didn't call on us just to believe, but also to suffer. He didn't say for his name's sake in that particular passage, but he said to suffer for his sake. So it's for Christ's sake that the people of God suffer. So we go through things. So he's purifying us. So you don't take a test. Like people say, you know, it sounds good. They sung that song that your trials come to make you strong. But that sounds really nice, but it's not true. Your test, your trial, your test that you, a trial is considered a test. And so when you take a test, that ain't going to make you stronger. You take a test to see where you are. They call it pop quiz and all of that. But when you take a test, if you didn't study, you may not pass. So, because it's going to show you where you are when you take a test. So you don't need a test to be strong in the Lord. You don't need a trial to be strong in the Lord. But he said, be strong. He didn't say, it's like he said, be holy. Only way you can do that, you can't be holy without the Holy Ghost. Only way you can be strong is be strong in the Lord. So you got to let God work in you. So you submit yourself to him, like he said, even in the Old Testament, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So should you desire to call in, our call-in number is 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. You are welcome to call in should you have a question, should you have a comment, something that you want to expound on. You are welcome to call in. And so we are talking about rejoice in the Lord on this evening. So we are so happy to be here. So in the book of Philippians, like I said, but this is also one of his prison epistles that he's writing. And so Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, now he is the self same one. He's just letting you know our position as a believer, because the sonship is going to be done away with. They got to still see that body. They're going to see those nail prints in his hands. Like the scripture in Zechariah 12 and 10, the latter cause says, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, in Zechariah 12 and 10. So that was in the Old Testament. So we know that it's talking about the man, Christ Jesus. What it's talking about. He took on a human body. So we know, we realize that God, in all his glory, we cannot behold him. So we can't look directly into the sun. And the glory of God is brighter than the noonday sun. And that's what happened to St. Paul when he was Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, had received letters to bind everybody that called on the name of Jesus. And he got his attention when he was on that road to Damascus. He fell off his beast. He heard a voice speaking unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. So this is in the ninth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. So he is the apostle to the Gentiles. In other words, he is our apostle. He wrote approximately 13, 14 Pauline epistles, because it's really kind of, some statements that he made were made in the book of Hebrews. Some say that they don't attribute the book of the Hebrews to St. Paul, but nevertheless, it's on record. He wrote more letters to the churches than any of the apostles, and he was the last apostle. Now, the job of an apostle, as I said before, there are no apostles today. The name of the 12 apostles is in the name, is in the foundations of the New Jerusalem. The 12, and so he called them, he named them apostles. John says, he that knoweth God heareth us. He was an apostle. He was the one that had the revelation. St. Paul had the mystery. Peter had the keys. So it's significance. Peter was sent to the circumcision, which is the Jews. St. Paul was sent to both, but he was the apostle to the uncircumcision, as he makes that known when he went to the church at Galatia. He makes that known, that about Peter being sent to the circumcision, and he was sent to the uncircumcision. So he was a learned man. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, and he was taught. He knew the law. So he was a very learned man, but he said, I counted all dung that I might win Christ. So this is the book of rejoicing as we go on here. So I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace, says St. Paul. So God is my record. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with all the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confidence in my bonds, and much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preaches Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, and the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. So he had people that stood up against him. He had contrary people because they said, and when he went to Galatia, he who sometimes, you know, he preached against us, he preached the law and all. He said now he is preaching the gospel of Christ. So he realized God got his attention. There's only one God, and he knew that. So that's why the Jews as a nation, unto whatever terminology you want to use, this day, they don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. So that's why John said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And so I read part of that in St. John when I come on. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of the will of the flesh or of the world, but of God. That's why he said, he went on to say, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness and cried, which is a proclamation, said, this is he whom I spake, who was before me. For he was before me. Of his fullness have we received grace for grace. And he goes on to say, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So people were in contention during that time. He says, what then? That was standing every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein do I do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. So we thank God for that. And so what God has said, his thoughts, whatever he has thought, it is going to come to pass. So you can bank on it. You can put your foot on it, as they say. And so we go on here. I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I would not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So we really have to understand what he was saying. I'd rather go ahead and be with Christ, is what he was saying. So in other words, I'd rather go to sleep in Jesus. But because I'm dealing with a lot of stuff, is what he's saying. But it's needful for me to be here because I have to help the churches. I have the care of the churches. So he writes extensive about that in to the Corinthians. That's why he has two books to the Corinthians. First Corinthians has 16 chapters, and Second Corinthians has 13 chapters. So he had the love of the people of God in his heart. He has the burden of the people of God, because God gave it to him. So he was so grateful and so thankful that God spared him and didn't let him get cut off. So he says, but I live in the flesh. This is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I would not. So anyway, like I just read that, I am in the strait betwixt two, having the desire to depart. That means go to sleep in Jesus and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. So the word conversation, that means lifestyle. So he goes on that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. So in other words, when you get opposed, you're supposed to rejoice, because the devil wouldn't be fighting you. He's fighting you because you, like they said in football, they're after the man that got the ball. In basketball, they're after the man who has the ball. So he's on the offense. He's got the ball. So the devil is on the offense too. But then on the other hand, you're on defense. When the other team has the ball, you're on defense. That's why he says, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. So you can't defend the gospel when you are newly born again. You got to know what the word of God says. It takes time. You got to be taught. So as yours truly, I was taught by the master teachers. And so this is why, that's why St. Paul told his son Timothy in the gospel, he says, the things which you have heard among many witnesses, he says, commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. So it's of utmost importance. It's like he says, we then are ambassadors for Christ, as God did beseech you by us, be ye reconciled to God. You can't be an ambassador to represent someone if you don't know what the doctrine is that you're representing. And like, even for instance, like someone from the United States going to another country, they got to know what they're representing. You got to know who you are, and you are representing your country. So in other words, you're not representing yourself, but you're representing. So we're representing him who died for us. So this is nothing new. This just wasn't like he told King Agrippa in the 26th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Says, you believe the prophets? I know you believe. So he was saying, I wish you were altogether such as I, accept these bonds, because they didn't know that he was a Roman. They shouldn't have had him bound in the first place. But he went on to let him know this thing was not done in a corner. So this is not a new gospel, like Jesus told the Pharisees and the Sadducees during his earthly ministry. If you had known Moses in the 5th chapter of St. John, you would have known me, because he wrote of me. So that's why he said in St. Luke, the 24th chapter, these are the words that I spake unto you. All things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's in St. Luke, the 24th chapter. He also wrote the Acts of the Apostles. Thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And thus I send the promise of my Father, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So he's on earth 40 days after he rose from the dead. He sent it back to heaven. 10 days later, he's the 50th day, which is the day of Pentecost. So incidentally, Pentecost is not a religion. Pentecost is not a denomination. Pentecost is a day. It's the 50th day of the Passover. So this is, people say Pentecostal, they mean the Pentecostal experience, speaking with other tongues. So you got to understand that when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you'll speak in another tongue or another language. But the key is not an unknown. Unknown is one of the gifts of the Spirit. People explain the Bible away because they don't know what they're talking about. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit, and God can interpret, give the interpretation. That's in the church. But when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, like they did on the day of Pentecost, you're speaking another tongue or another language. Because that's what they said. We hear Elamites and all of these ones, Mesopotamia, all the places they start naming out. We do hear in our own language where we and we were born. And they go on to say, we hear them speak the wonderful works of God. So ain't no some of these lying preachers don't know what they're talking about. Because you can't tell nobody about what you don't have. They say, oh, that was for them. No, that's for us. That's for everybody. Joel 2 and 28, it shall come to pass, saith God, in the last days I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. That means Jew and Greek. Doesn't matter who you are, what nationality, he's going to pour it out on all flesh is what that means. So thank God for that. You got to be born again. And so that's why I asked the question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Because you have to believe God. So that's why he said, like I said, I reiterate what I just said. St. Paul asked King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? And he went on to say, I know you believe. So this thing wasn't done in a corner. So we thank God for his word. And so we're not just talking about something off the top of our head, but we are talking about the word of God. So he says, unto you, and so if nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is the token to them, an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. That's where I left off at and before I injected other scriptures, because this is the truth when it's rightly dividing. That's why St. Paul told his son Timothy in the gospel, 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So this is the truth when it's rightly divided. So he goes on here, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now, you remember when I first came on, I made mention of certain scriptures because it's opened up like a book unto me. I don't have to be looking at it, but I know when I think of the book of Philippians, certain scriptures come to mind because that's in my gift, my spiritual gift. It opens up like a book to me when certain things happen. That's the gift that God has given me. That's in my spiritual gift. So he goes on here, therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of spirit, any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being one of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So in other words, you know, this is not, that's why you try to tell people this is not about us. Some people, I mean, people have made statements like they're trying to outdo themselves or whatever. That's ridiculous, because the whole point is it's not about us. God get done using us. If he tarries, then we'll be in a box put away until he wakes the church up, raptures the church out of here. So in other words, it's not about us, no way, but it's about him. But in the meantime, as they say, we're going to do the will of God. So he saved us. So this is, like I said, I've said before, I'm not just just came in here, but I've been in here. He saved me as a young man, so this is my 40th year. I've been through hell and high waters. I done fought devils. I know how to fight a devil, and that is you fight a devil with the word of God. You fight a devil with prayer and supplication and fasting. How you fight a devil, destroy yokes and break yokes. It's not by might nor by power. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. So God, keep your mind and keep your heart. Because it's not about us, it's about him. Anyway, we are his people that are called by his name. And so this is why he said, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, when he wrote in 2 Timothy, depart from iniquity. And so this is, so you, he saved you all the way. You ain't still hanging out like you was. I remember some gentleman show that I was on, he, you know, he, some things that he was saying, I said, no, that didn't happen. Man, God don't do a half job. When he does something, he does it all the way. He saved me. He changed me. Any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's what St. Paul said. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So it is a process. So he goes on here. So don't be looking on things of others, but you esteem other better than yourself. So in other words, you prefer your brother. You prefer your sister. But there's times you got to be like Isaiah. They say, whom will go? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. So anyway, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So he says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So did you hear that statement? He is equal because he is God. You can't be equal with somebody that you're not. So should you desire to call in, I want to reiterate our call-in number, 929-477-2285. That is, you're listening to Truth Ministry, Elder Michael E. Cannon. I'm the spokesman for the King of Glory. Should you desire to call in, again, the number is 929-477-2285, because we are live right now between 6 and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So as we go on here, so he says, he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He's talking about the Son of God. So, like I said, if you follow me, you have heard. So that's why we say we talk about the Godhead. He is the one God, and there's only one. Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. God made himself a body. So in Luke 1 and 35, Mary had done, went to Elizabeth, the babe leaped in her womb. And so she was saying, how shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? So people are not crazy. You don't get impregnated, or you're with child and you've never been with a man. That don't make sense. Nowadays, you can't be saying, oh, I wasn't, you know, I just happened to be like that. No. And they knew that. That's why Joseph thought to put her away privately. That while he thought on those things in a dream, the angel of the Lord said, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So the writer says that his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And so what? Go back to Luke 1 and 35. So he went on to let them know, the angel said that the power of the highest is going to come overshadow thee, is going to come upon thee. He's talking to Mary. He says, therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's Luke 1 and 35. So he is. He made himself a body. We don't understand with our natural mind. The natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. So it takes the Holy Ghost, takes the Spirit of God for us to understand spiritual things. So you got to have the mind of Christ, is what he's going on to say. And so he was made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. So, and he was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God, now when you, God is a spirit, understand that, also highly exalted him, and giveth him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. And that's another one of the scriptures that I quoted at the beginning of the broadcast. So he goes on here, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So this, like I said, remember, this is a book of rejoicing. And I think we're going to, I don't know if I'm going to get there or not, because I'm just walking through the book. This is the book of rejoicing. So he says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The next verse, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, we know in Isaiah 26:4, I believe, says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, 26:3, I believe. Anyway, somewhere in there, Isaiah, the 26th chapter, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now, remember, back then, the name Jehovah was his name. Now, remember, back in the law, under the law, in Exodus 6:3, he says, I was known unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by my name, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah, I was not known unto them. The same God. Before that, he was I Am. He was God Almighty. He was I Am. But that's what Moses said, and Moses and Aaron, who should we tell Pharaoh? Who shall we tell them sent us? And he said, tell them I am sent you. I am that I am. So it said, I will be what I will be, when I will be, where I will be, on and on. They could not translate that. So in other words, I'm God. I'm everywhere. I'm every place. I'm the which was, which is to come. I'm before. Oh, God. I'm the one who was in the beginning. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. I'm before. I'm the eternal God. I have no beginning. I have no ending. I'm everlasting to everlasting. See, we can't pick that up, because he created eternity so he created time to get us, so we can get ourselves together, so he could take us back into eternity with him. There's going to be a time in the book of the Revelation, the angel is going to put one foot on heaven, one on the earth, and one on the in the sea. It's in the book of the Revelation, and he's going to say, time no longer. So there's going to be a time that there's not any more time. So he throughout eternity. So no one in their right mind want to burn in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. They said, be like sulfur. I mean, it's you're coughing and weeping and gnashing of teeth and tormented with fire and brimstone forever, in which it was prepared. Matthew 25:41, curse ye into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And people are going to go there too, because they don't believe God. They won't obey God, and the worst sin in the whole world is not adultery, not lying, not stealing, not killing, or fornication, or robbing people and all these kinds of things. But the worst sin in the whole world is one word, unbelief. And this is why Israel couldn't enter in, the Hebrew writer says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And so Jesus couldn't do many mighty works. In Matthew's gospel, he said, just lay his hand on a few sick folk, but he couldn't do many mighty works because of unbelief. So unbelief is a terrible thing. So that's why Jesus and John the Baptist both had the same message when they came on the scene, and that was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So he goes on here. So he was saying, to recap, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked, perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So we have to realize whatever God's promises are, yea and amen. Whatever he said, whatever God had thought, it's going to come to pass. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. Heavens is higher than the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts, and my ways above your ways. And so we don't just triumph, but he causes, thanks be unto God. St. Paul wrote his second letter to the Corinthians. He says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. And then so back, we know when they had that great victory, when they crossed, when the Lord opened up the Red Sea and they went across on dry ground. So they, Miriam, Moses' sister, got picked up a tambourine and they sung, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He didn't just triumph, but he triumphed gloriously. The horseman and the rider had he thrown into the sea. So they said, the Lord is God, I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. That song says, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. And so he goes on here, yea, and I have be offered upon the sacrifice of service of your faith. I joy and rejoice with you all. Remember now, he's all of this stuff he's going through, he's rejoicing. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I may also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. All men seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. So this, the people are materialistic, and they were back then, and they are now. And, I mean, people use terms, really, they're doing violence to the scriptures when they say favor ain't fair. I mean, God don't love one person in the church no more than he love another. That's ridiculous to even say that, you know, because you got a little piece of money, you know, what they're referring to. I'm so blessed, touch me. That's so stupid. You are connected to the power. We have resources with God as a child of God. God will bring, he wants to, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. So wherever you go, we believe God. We trust God. Faith is not silent. That's why he wrote to the Roman church in 10 and 17. He says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When the Lord had said to Abraham didn't just go, but he heard God say, get out of your father's house to a land, to a country. I will show thee, I will be, you know, make of thee a great nation. He was saying, and you're going to be a blessing. And whatever, so in other words, whatever you, whoever curse, bless you, I'm going to bless them. Whoever curseth you, I will curse them, and I will make you a blessing. So Abraham is the father of faith. So that's why it says, being yet not weak, not considered himself, talking about the deadness of Sarah's womb, being not weak in faith, but he staggered not at the promises of God. How are you going to do that? This is in Romans, the fourth chapter, through unbelief. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, knowing that he had promised, he was able to fulfill what he said. So that's why he said, even God who quickeneth the dead. That means, the word quickeneth means to make alive. Quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. So in other words, what he said is going to come to pass. So he can't lie. He's immutable, which means he's unchangeable in the sixth chapter of Hebrews. So he swear by no greater. He swear by himself. So whatever he said passed. That's why the Hebrew writer says that it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation. So in other words, he can't lie. Whatever he said, his word's gone forth in righteousness. So he was talking about in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, one of the misunderstood scriptures in the Bible, because people will try to take the word that he gives seed to the sower. He is not talking, he's talking about for the farmer, because I can prove it. So he was saying, as the rain and the snow cometh down from heaven, that maketh the earth to bring forth and to bud, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth. So he's talking about that he may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So what is he talking about? He's literally talking about rain in the 55th chapter of Isaiah. He's literally talking about snow. It's going to water the earth, make it to bring forth in the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. In other words, the farmer need more seed to plant more seed so he can grow more wheat, which you make bread out of wheat, is what he's talking about, grain, corn. So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth not return unto me, void, it's going to accomplish the thing I sent it, and prosper in that which I please. So he can, his word is gone forth. That's why Jesus said, not one jot or one tittle is going to pass away till all be fulfilled. So he can't lie. When he swear by no greater, he swear by himself. He swear to himself. He swore alone. He can't lie. He is God. His word has gone out. And so we go on here. I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you. Also, I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. No man, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. So remember, I was just talking about all people are selfish. All seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as the Son with the Father, he served me in the gospel. So he is talking about Timotheus or Timothy. That's, you know, Timotheus, that name is synonymous with Timothy. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, was full of heaviness because he had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, not only on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. So St. Paul, he even had afflictions. So he had affliction. He said, I knew a man in Christ, Jesus, above 14 years, whether in out of the body, I cannot tell. He goes on to say, such a one caught up to the third heaven, heard things unspeakable which are not lawful for a man to utter. And he said, I sought him three times. So he said, concerning the measure of Satan, which was buffeting me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So because of the abundance of the revelations, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So that's why St. Paul, he was talking about himself. Gladly, therefore, will I rejoice in tribulations and persecutions, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And I'm quoting this. You can read it in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And so he says, for when I am weak, then am I strong. So in other words, I'm looking to him for help. That's why David said, I would look unto, lift my eyes unto the hills in 121st Psalm, I will lift my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. So in other words, my help cometh from on high, not from the hills, but from the Lord. So in other words, he is the high and lifted up one. So he goes on here, receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness and hope and reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service. So people have laid down their lives for the gospel. That's why in St. John, in 1 John, the first epistle of John 3:16, he says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. So I'm just about out of time here. So he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write same thing, things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So in other words, we're not looking at our own power and our own strength, but we're looking to God. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now he's talking about education. He's talking about being philosophical and all this, that I might have also have confidence in the flesh. Any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust, I more. Why is that? Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, is touching the law, Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. So he goes on here, what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that means garbage, a pile of trash, that I might win Christ, be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. This is what St. Paul is saying. And the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And then, so I'm going to end right here. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So in other words, whatever I got to do, whatever I got to take, I got to make it. I'm not going to go to a devil's hell. I know y'all contrary. Y'all fighting against me because you hate it, because I'm on the Lord's side. I got the revelation of who he is. He called me out of darkness into his marvelous light, and there are devils that are mad about it. So we thank you for this opportunity to listen to Truth Ministry. So we're going to talk to you. We're going to continue on next time. So thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So keep in mind my question that I ask you. That is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And have you been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins? That is the new birth that Jesus was talking about when he talked to Nicodemus. So God bless you. We'll talk to you on next time.